people, real radio.
Initiating the truth frequency.
This is Truth Frequency Radio.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Welcome to Angry Beaver Radio here on TruthFrequencyRadio.com. Today is January the 31st, 2015. On this live edition, we have Mark Michael Daniel on the line here from Kanatistan in the southern Ontario region, ranging from the Toronto region to the Golden Horseshoe area. And we also have Suzanne Posel, special guest with us on the broadcast from OccupyCorporatism.com. Folks can check out her website over there. You can also check out our other website, theusindependent.com. And hello, Suzanne. Welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we haven't talked to you for a little while. There was some news that came out during our last broadcast, and I didn't really get it until after the show. And it had to do with Al Gore and what came out of the Davos conference. He had a comment about having to spend $90 trillion to redesign all the cities so that we don't need cars anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. They're serious about this. Google and several other, Audi, Mercedes, as well as some American manufacturers. They're serious. They want self-driving cars. The, Department of Transportation here in the United States is saying that, by the end of this year, all the cars need to start talking to each other or else. They will expand that out to 2019 to facilitate people purchasing, more updated cars. Tesla is, opening up huge here in the United States. Some states are allowing them to sell their vehicles here because they don't believe in dealerships, and the dealership is a scam anyway. They have electronic cars, and so all these stations and the push toward the EVs is then just a hop, skip, and a jump out to the self-driving cars. They're using the same argument that Nader used with the seatbelts, which I don't necessarily disagree with. However, I don't think that the government should be telling you to wear a seatbelt if you don't want to wear a seatbelt. It's up to you. If you like to go through windshields, that's up to you. But with the self-driving cars, they're using the fact that, you know, human beings might not make the correct judgment in order to assess if they're too close to the vehicle in front of them when they're changing lanes, especially on highways, and that in order to save lives, they need to have self-driving cars, period.
Well, Suzanne, when you really look at it, when you look out on the highway, you see a lot of stupid drivers out there. Maybe that's what the government is looking at, how many people are out there that actually trying to make illegal lane changes and cutting people off, and they're probably looking at that too and thinking, well, I think we've got to do something about that, and I think having cars that can run by themselves and everything else would be a better option. So, you know.
Well, just for argument's sake, I think that the stupid driving has been socially engineered. People didn't always drive this stupidly. People used to get in a car and know that if they hit something, they could kill somebody. And, to pay attention to where they're driving and, you know, not doing things while they're trying to drive.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just that everyone drives around like it's a video game and you have, infinity lives. And it doesn't matter because the insurance company will pay for the damages. And then the government goes on all kinds of propaganda campaigns to demonize, you know, anything, tobogganing down a hill, guns, you know, anything, you name it. Meanwhile, vehicle accidents cause a lot of deaths. And they don't have to. People are being socially engineered to just not care, to just drive around while they're texting and running over pedestrians at the same time. I mean, you can't legislate away stupidity, really, but I mean,
texting while eating, while doing your makeup and smoking a cigarette and, probably going through the radio dial at the same time.
And that is happening, and that is true, and it shouldn't happen. You know, that's why they have celebrities out there right now telling people don't text and drive and don't do all of these things, because the millennial generation is very distracted and very easily distracted as a whole, not individually, but as a whole. And so that does make sense. However, I personally don't want the government to not give me the option to drive badly. That's my choice. In a constitutional republic, I should be able to, or I should be held to the responsibility of my words and my actions. And I'm not saying that we need to have more deaths on the highway or on the streets because people are allowed to behave this way, but people are behaving this way, and statistically there are no more accidents than there were 10 years ago or even 40 years ago. So I don't want the government to take away that option for me to be stupid, because then it's a hop, skip, and a jump for them to take away other things that they think I shouldn't be doing or that I'm doing badly.
There are more distractions though, because now they got these video billboards. It's like Big Brother up on the highway.
Yeah,
just like corporate.
Yes, you could play actually video games on those billboards.
Well, has anyone ever used a navigation system, you know, in a car, GPS system, and have it lead you astray or lead you to a road that does not exist, telling you to turn off? So, I mean, does anyone really want to trust this kind of AI technology to drive them and their family around to, hey, we're going to see grandma at Christmas time, and it just drives you off the edge of Niagara Falls? I mean, like, who wants to be that person?
HAL 9000 in your car.
Right, and there are all these apps that you can connect with people as you're driving, and you can let people know where you're going and who was there. Waze is an app that really pissed off the police here this past week. They're saying that it's adding to terrorism because you can let other people know that there is a cop sitting out monitoring people, or that they're, you know, doing whatever they're doing incognito, but they're sitting in a public place. And since they're not really hiding out, it's public knowledge that they're there. So why wouldn't it be social internet public knowledge as well? The police department in New York got really upset about this and wants to shut down Waze and stop people from letting other people know that cops are sitting out there targeting them.
Well, yeah, you're right, Suzanne, and also the truckers, if you're out there on, if you have your CB on, they use their CBs to find out what is going on out in the roads and where the cops are, if there are any cops in a certain area, just to watch out for them. Yeah, that happens.
Right. The CB has become the smartphone and apps like what Waze offers. I think it's hilarious. We have all of this nanny state that is telling us we can't do this and we can't do that. Well, if I do that, I can be held responsible for what I've done. We have laws in place. We have rules in place. So why are you, the government, telling me I can't do this? If I do it and it goes against rules and regulations that are set forth before I even attempt this, then I know that I'm going to get in trouble for it. I should be allowed to get in trouble for that.
Well, it is absolutely right. But what happens if they do something that we don't like? You know.
Well, that's a different conversation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Another show altogether. But I think, I think we should have the option. Like, I think seatbelts should be optional, whether you want to use them or you don't want to use them. Because I know a lot of people do get killed with seatbelts on. Let's say if your car goes over an embankment into a river or a lake or whatever, and your seatbelt malfunctions and you actually drown, then what do you do then?
I don't know. See, I'm 5'1", so airbags are dangerous to me. If I got into an accident, I could be decapitated or suffocated. So what do I do then? Do we regulate several tiers of airbag, and do I have to compute into my self-driving car, my computerized car, that I, my height and my weight, so that it doesn't kill me when it's supposed to be protecting me?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Cause a lot of, like, those airbags, like a lot of them are very, very strong when they are injected. They can actually seriously harm somebody.
Well, you're gonna.
Yeah. So this is not.
I was gonna say you're gonna need the airbag and the seatbelt. You're gonna need to something to cut the seatbelt away, and you're gonna want that airbag to go off and stay inflated because you're be at the bottom of Niagara Falls that your self-driving car just took you and your family to. I mean, look at all the regular cars and their defects that we drive. Just never mind human error. Look at all the manufacturing errors, all the recalls. And they a certain amount of people have to die before they finally say, okay, we'll recall it. You know?
Yeah.
If only a low amount of people die, they'll just say, oh, we'll just pay them off and let the defect go on. Let people crash all over the place. So, I mean, I don't really trust these technology firms to drive me around. And I'm not saying, yes, there is human error. And I claim that it could be, you know, socially engineered so that people do pay more attention when driving. Just some reminders. Like, it's not a video game. You crash and you die, that's it. You know, pay attention. It's like imagine people at a gun range texting, you know, and randomly shooting with their other hand, not paying attention to where they're shooting at the gun range. I mean, that's what people are doing when they get in their vehicle and they drive around while they're talking on the phone and texting all over the place. It's the exact equivalent to me. So they need to put that into perspective, I think. And I think people maybe would start paying attention to where they're driving. You know, if a good old-fashioned shunning. I don't know. Or are we too far gone into this idiocracy?
I like how Al Gore introduces this in Switzerland too. He's like on the Swiss Alps, like aren't they supposed to be melted by now? It's like the Mount Everest is supposed to be a desert by now, but it's still got snow.
Al Gore, yeah, he's reporting live from the Swiss Alps that according to him in 2008 would have been melted a couple years ago. The snow top announcing he needs only needs 90 trillion quadrillion. Civilian gabillion remembers. It's ridiculous. Like, what? How much money to do what? And here's the thing. He's talking about, you know, we need to redesign the major cities to be so they're not set up for cars, right? Well, most of the major cities are so old that a lot of the downtown cores are not adequately set up for cars. Yes, there are streets and roads, but there's no houses with driveways. There's no adequate parking anywhere. That's part of the reason why everything's jammed up down there. Because originally, when those houses were built and those areas were built up, there was no cars. Everyone was on horse and buggy. Like downtown in the city where I'm at, it's mostly, there's not much driveways anywhere. The houses are like late 1800s. A lot of the downtown cores of New York, Toronto, Hamilton, I mean, you name it, you go there. They're actually set up for horses and converted to run cars. And that's why everything's so jammed and there's nowhere to park. You get out to the outskirts, the newer parts of the cities or the suburbs, and you can see, you know, you got adequate parking and so on and so forth. So I don't think it would cost $90 trillion to go back
to horses
or bicycles. Like everyone's going back to bicycles and electric, 10 mile an hour scooters, you know? So I don't know, $90 trillion. It's just absurd. I don't know, my guts almost exploded. My head almost exploded when I.
Yeah, well, they got to keep a bunch of that. A few trillion each, probably.
People forget he owns Global Management LLC, which is a carbon tax brokerage firm and one of the largest in the world. So he really needs to push this and keep this going. That's his cash cow. That's his retirement fund. And if he's going to be skiing in the desert up on the Alps, then he's got to have a lot of money.
That's why we call him Al Gorovic.
Gorovic? I was calling him Al Gorbachev. Oh, I don't know. I mean, and then he buys up oceanfront property. You know, nice, beautiful place on the oceanfront. The very ocean that he says is going to rise and flood him out in. So either he's lying about the flooding or he's engaged in an insurance scam. Cause he knows the flooding's coming, right? So it's one of the two.
He would have to be doing both, which would be awesome.
Yeah, knowing Al Gorbachev, he's doing both. But I don't know. It's just complete, it's cartoon level ridiculousness. Like the Looney Tunes couldn't have come up with something this crazy. Al Gore running around, we need $90 trillion in or else this, I'm going to club this seal live on TV. It's basically
because they're dying.
Yeah, because they're, you know, that's basically what he does. He uses the environment as an extortion racket, you know.
Well, it does seem like it's getting colder. This seems like a real winter so far this year.
Well, last year was a real winter too.
It's a global cooling phase.
Well, we've been like that for decades.
Yeah. See, people don't understand the climate changes. The if you look at the history of 4.5 billion years, the climate changes, Earth changes constantly. We have been lucky to have existed, and I think that the thriving of our species and all species on the planet in this small amount of time has been so abundant because we have been living in a regular, relatively temperate time, but we can't expect that to continue. The climate will continue to change, and there's instances all over history where all of a sudden the climate completely changed. I mean, people were skating on the Thames, right? Not that long ago.
Well, this is, I don't know, this is to like the auto workers unions and the automotive companies. Had them supporting the all the free trade agreements in the past, and then they shipped all their jobs overseas. You know, like, how stupid was that? And now you got the auto manufacturers have long been supporting sustainable development and UN Agenda 21 and promoting it through their corporate structure. And it's like, you're just stabbing yourselves in the foot. Do you even know what it is? They want to go to driverless cars and eventually have no cars. And, like, who are you going to build cars for? And they're not thinking long term. They're just using carrot and stick method. Oh, well, you know, go along to get along. And it's just stupidity to me. Yeah. Well, all these auto manufacturers pushing sustainable development. And, you got Al Gore saying we got to get rid of the cars. And it's like, well, you people all support this. All the auto manufacturers, Chevy, Ford, Chrysler, you know, BMW. I mean, they all are pushing sustainable development. And which is ban the car. So there you go.
That's what I think. That's why we have all these recalls.
Oh no, we have these recalls because like GM knowingly puts a defective ignition switch into their car and waits for several hundred people to be killed before a Senate committee brings them to the table and says maybe you should stop that, and then waits for several more hundred, so it's piling up into the thousands now, and then they admit, "Oh, I'm sorry. Let's do a recall."
Yeah. But I think, for me, I think the flying trains and flying cars are probably not out of the picture yet. I think that will happen one day.
Well, it will. And what's funny is they promised that to the baby boomers. I mean, my mother was supposed to be driving a flying car by now. She's not flying anywhere.
Yeah.
The Jetsons. Remember that cartoon?
Yes, yes.
Right. Yeah. They told everybody you'd be flying in cars, you'd have autonomous robots in your house, you'd have generators that just, you tell the thing what you want to eat, and that's how you cook, or you press a button like Mrs. Jetson did, and there's a 7-course meal that comes out.
Sure. But they're a little slow right now. We got our smart meters, you know, that catch fire, but other than that, everything's cool.
Well, we do have robots that vacuum and clean our floors.
Yes, we do, yeah.
We have refrigerators that when you're out of milk, will order it from whatever grocery store online. If you have an account, it'll order it for you and have it delivered to your house.
And 3D printers for food.
And or other things. They're building houses with 3D printers now.
Yeah. I saw that in China. There was some they just takes them like a day. I can print out a whole house.
Yeah, and these 3D printers are huge, and it prints it in a circular fashion. And when watching this thing go, I watched a time-lapse video of it. It's amazing. It's impressive.
Yeah, I was watching a video where it looks like a little box, and then all of a sudden it starts opening up, and you got your windows and you got your doors, and it all comes out like you're building a tent, you know. And it all comes out, and then you got your house. Everything's ready. Except you just got to do
that. Oh, is that
the
like a Lego house? Like you hook things together?
It's off, almost like, it's all, like a little box, almost flat. And it just And it, you just press a button and it just rises up, and then, the walls come up to out, and then the roof, has been in place and all that kind of stuff. And all you gotta do is the gardening. You're all set.
Wow. Unless you live in Oregon, and then you can't do any gardening because it's illegal.
Yeah, and you can't have an ice rink in your front lawn either.
And you can't collect rainwater because somehow the city owns the clouds that rain down above the city. But do they relinquish their ownership when the clouds move on to another city?
No, they keep going.
Do they tag the clouds so they know, like, this cloud belonged to this city and now it's moved 6 miles off to the next city? Do they know?
Yeah, when are we going to see Chicago versus New York when Chicago claims that that rainwater that drifted over to New York, that's their water, and they want it back?
You know that's going to happen.
Well, in some cases, they could be producing these clouds, right, with a solar radiation management scheme.
The solar radiation deflects heat, so it doesn't create clouds. It just deflects heat, which creates a cooler surface. And the closer you get to the Earth, obviously, the hotter it gets. So they're thinking that, you know, by cooling off the atmosphere when the hot air rises and it gets to that area and it cools itself off. But NASA Terra Satellite has shown steadily throughout the last couple of years that the Earth is expelling heat naturally as it normally does, and it's not risen or fallen into space. So we don't need any help, David Keith. Earth is fine.
Yeah, I like the way the Earth is. Just leave it alone and let it do what it has to do in the first place. You know, it everything rejuvenates itself, and everything's pretty much normal. But you got these guys that want to try to put in laws and then bills and all this kind of stuff. They're the ones ruining everything. We're not ruining everything. We're trying to do everything what comes natural to us, like you said. Collecting rainwater, you know, that should be your right. You shouldn't have to go out to the store and buy a bottle of water. You should be able to collect your rainwater and filter it, whatever you can do with it, and then drink it. It's ours, you know, it's ours. It's our right to survive.
Right. And let it be that. And that's fine. But no, you know, corporations run everything, and they want to make sure that they have at least licensing rights if you're going to use it.
Like Nestle's. People do not have the right to fresh water.
No, because you don't need fresh water. Human beings don't need water to survive. Only people who can afford it should be able to buy it. Not those poor people.
You should be able to go to a stream or any well, and just drink your water normally. You shouldn't have to pay for anything. It's there for us to use. It was part of the earth, part of the creation. It's ours.
Yeah, but then those people over in Europe came like here to the United States and told the natives, well, we own this land. And the natives said, what is the word owned? We don't understand that word. They don't even have a word for that. In any native language, own land. That doesn't make any sense. So yeah, you know, you stick your flag in there, or you draw a little line with your permanent marker, your chalk or something, and say, that's mine. And then we get the change of that idea into, which is egregious if you think about it, because we're talking about resources and openness to resources. And how can you own that river over there? And that doesn't make any sense. But then, ironically, we vehemently support and protect our right to property, which I think is just very an interesting dichotomy.
I don't think it should be owned by any one particular individual. I think it's should be for all of us. Not owned, it should be for all of us to actually use. Using something doesn't mean you own it. Using something means you use it for whatever health reasons you do have, no matter what it is, water, excuse me, any kind of your foods and stuff like that. We all don't own it. It is not something we own. We use something that is natural, and I think that's the way we should look at it, you know. Nestle's does not have the right to say, well, you do not have the right to this water. You know, that type of thing. But they turn around and they take that water and they use it for themselves. but you
Well, they use it to sell. Like when, yeah. with the drought in California recently, right. Nestle just kept pumping water like it was going out of style before drought conditions. And they said, well, we're selling it back to Californians. So it's not like we're keeping it for ourselves or just trying to make a profit off of it. And that's the way, of course, a corporation's going to say that and think that way, because that's what a corporation's job is, to keep that cash flow going. So yeah, if they're going to pay for the right to use a resource, I don't think that they care that, like, let's say in a drought condition, that several hundred thousand people who are residents of that area are suffering, and Nestle siphoning out this water is not helping the situation, and by selling it back is an insult to injury.
Exactly, and you get these poor people in Canada that don't have the right to the water have to go and buy their water that they've manufactured.
And it's unregulated, all of that bottled water. And I don't agree with the FDA, but nobody's looking over that stuff. And when they do independent studies on the contents, and they find statins, pharmaceuticals, all sorts of stuff in that water that you don't want to consume. It's not healthier. Plus the fact that it's in a plastic container that has BPA or Triton, which are basically the same. So all bad all the way around.
Yes, I felt these bottles that the water is in, and they're like, they're very flimsy.
I remember giving
the tops
call
on them are very thin and small. And they're in a balloon.
I said, you know, we've had such terrible.
You know, if you crush it, it'll explode. That'd be it.
Pull it. And they made that decision to
Anyways, we got a break coming up, guys.
Collapse.
Yeah, we'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to Angry Beaver Radio on TFR.
Yes, it was.
That was the plan.
Yeah, definitely secondary explosion. We was inside waiting to go upstairs. And on
the
way upstairs, the
garbage,
the whole complete blue.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule 1 drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. Hemp U.S. USA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Sound Doctor Ministries with Kenneth Emmanuel.
Sunday on Truth Frequency Radio.
What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea. A new world order.
What if what they really want is for us to herd children in the stadiums like we're doing? And put soldiers on the street and have Americans looking over their shoulders. Bend the law, shred the Constitution just a little bit. Because if we torture him, General, we do that and everything that we have bled and fought and died for is over. And they've won.
Welcome back to Angry Beaver Radio here on TruthFrequencyRadio.com. And we're here with our guest Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com. And we have this article here that she just posted, Why Victoria Nuland's Comment on RT Upset Alternative Media. And it goes on here, Victoria Nuland, Assistant Secretary of State for European and Eurasian Affairs, spoke at a Q&A session at the Brookings Institute, making statements that caused a ripple of controversy in alternative media. The comment regarded Russia Today, RT, slamming their viewership and denouncing their perspective on the issues in Ukraine. Nuland, who spoke against a journalist's proposal to ban RT from broadcasting in the United States, instead proposed, all you have to do is look at RT's tiny, tiny audience in the United States to understand what happens when you broadcast untruths in media space that is full of dynamic, truthful opinion. State-owned Russian media spews lies about who's responsible for the violence in Ukraine. Perhaps not surprising to some, as of 2013, RT had become the first news channel on YouTube to acquire 1 billion views. Some alternative sites choose to use this comment to insinuate to their readers who might also be frequent RT with the prospect of State Department wanting to ban alternative media outlet. Even RT themselves posted a retort to Nuland's comments about their tiny audience, quoting an unsourced survey from 2013 that claims residents of Washington, D.C., New York, and other cities prefer RT to other international TV channels such as Euronews, Dutch Well, and France 24. However, the intimidation or the intimation that RT is alternative media cannot be accurate because RT is funded by the Kremlin, thereby making them state-run news. In fact, RT receives its funding from the federal budget of Russia as allocated by the Federal Agency on Press and Mass Communications of the Russian Federation. In 2005 to 2006, the Russian government invested $30 million in RT, which has been given autonomous nonprofit status in order to further muddy its ties to the Russian government. RT is tied to RIA Novosti, the propaganda machine of the Russian people masquerading as a news agency that dates back to the USSR Council of People's Commissioners and the Communist Party Central Committee, whose task was to oversee work to cover international military events and the events of the country's domestic life in periodicals and on the radio. The article goes on further down. You can check it out at OccupyCorporatism.com. It was just posted. And we've talked about this a little bit before, not quite so in depth, but how RT, I call them KT for Kremlin Today, because they are Russian state-funded media.
Yes, they absolutely are. And I don't understand. Victoria Nuland mentioned this, John Kerry just mentioned this recently. Hillary Clinton has, but for some reason, in alternative circles who frequent RT and favor and look up to and place on high pedestals as if they could do no wrong, broadcasters out of RT who just have shows, who make money for their broadcaster and you know, make a little bit of percentage on the side. This is filled with source links, and please, for whatever you think is holy to you, go check out the source links. Click on them. RA Novosti does not keep this under wraps. The Russian government does not keep this under wraps. But for some reason, this fact eludes the alternative audience who go to RT. Or there's a complete disconnect and maybe cognitive dissonance, if I could use that. I hate to say that, that this fact is true. And that means that this is a state Kremlin-funded Russian propaganda news, just like Voice of America is for the United States and CNN and all of the other guys. It is no different. It is their perspective on their enemies to make themselves look better and make their enemies look worse. It's no different than the Republicans attacking the Democrats in the media and vice versa.
Yeah, you're right, Suzanne. It's like the WWE. When they're out in front of each other, they're at each other's throats, but in behind the scenes, they're all lovey-dovey and going out for dinner with each other.
Yes, what concerns me are some of the celebrities that are now deified out of Russia today. American alternative media, who are, you know, given this high status that they can do no wrong, and people don't look into who these people are and why they're working for, and they say that it's Russia America, it's RT America, so it doesn't have as many ties. That's absolutely a load of garbage. Because when you are an outlet that is international, like let's say CNN or BBC, BBC has correspondents all over the world and so does CNN. We don't differentiate between any of those satellites in other foreign countries. We say that it's BBC. We say BBC UK. We say BBC America. We don't differentiate between the two. So why do we give this automatic status to RT America? It's because we want to. It's because we don't want to believe that this is not alternative media, that this is Russian propaganda, and somehow it's been injected into our narrative, and we don't question anymore the postulations that come out of that agency when they absolutely should be scrutinized because they are state-funded.
Yeah, what I was also thinking, too, if they're so alternative, how come they're not being hacked by anybody, stuff like that? If you go to real alternative news and stuff like that, you're being hacked all over the place, and
Well, because these big corporations, these major news corporations have the ability to keep themselves from getting hacked from low-level hackers. There's a large movement of the hacking movement and the dark hacking movement that are in listen to read alternative media, and because RT is part of that, they become a defense, a position of defense rather than of offense. You're not going to attack your own family. And if you see the alternative media as a family and branches out of brothers and sisters and cousins and whatnot and nephews and nieces, you wouldn't attack your own. And as long as RT is considered one of our own, it won't be attacked by those people who are attacking other news agencies because they see that as them, not us.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you there. Yeah, for sure.
Some of the stories they have, though, do seem like they're more real than the stuff you see in the mainstream on RT.
Well, on a contingency of facts, it is my opinion as a journalist that we should always go back to facts. How a story makes me feel lets me know that that story is designed to make me feel a certain way. And I understand that through neurolinguistic programming and through marketing, the way in which stories are written is geared toward, if it's a sensational piece, it's geared toward making sure that you have a specific emotional reaction. And whenever I run across those articles, I immediately ask myself, why do they want me to feel scared or happy or nervous or upset? Why do they want me to go after this entity? There's two sides to every coin, and unfortunately in all media, we tend to forget that. And because we are either in the midst of our propaganda or the other side's propaganda, it's extremely difficult to get to the actual source, because somewhere along the line, and this is an assumption I'm making, both sides, like when you take religion, take the Bible, take the Quran the Talmud or the Old Testament or the New Testament, you'll have both sides of the argument using the same verses to justify their position. That happens all the time. Here we have some nugget of truth coming out of both sides, but it is spun in a way to make their audience do or think or behave in a certain way. We need to get to that nugget of truth and brush aside all of that other spin. Because as soon as we have that emotional reaction, we're being spun. Step back a little bit. Do research. If you're going to I look into CNN just as much as I look into RT. And there are a lot of things that I find RT does not have any substantial evidence to make those claims. Another thing RT has neglected in the past, but they're doing a little bit now, is source linking their information. And most of their source links are internal articles where they wrote about something before, and so they linked it in to make it look like a source link. CNN and ABC and NBC do that all the time. The New York Times does that all the time. It drives me nuts, because when I go to click on their source links, it's just another article that they had written a couple of months or weeks before. This is a problem, because we don't know what the information's origination was. And because we don't know that, we don't know if it's valid or trustworthy.
Yeah, I agree with you. Not that you brought that up, is like you read the newspaper, you watch TV, and they always say sources said. What source? Experts
right.
Say, what experts? Who are
unnamed
they?
Unnamed officials claim.
Exactly.
Well, that means BS to me, folks. I don't even report on that. Or if I do, I make it abundantly, sarcastically clear that this is bunk. But I have to include it in the article because it's part of the story. And we have to understand, when it's anonymous sources, when some sources say, when I heard, when I read on the internet, when any of that, and any variation of that, all of a sudden you're about to be fed either disinformation intentionally or unintentionally. And either way, turn your brain off at that moment. You know, put your hands over yours if you have to. Because it's not something, it's emotionally based, it's charged to make you react. And when you react, you become good consumers, you become good activists, you become good protesters. But are you protesting against the thing that is actually the problem? Or are you doing something based on someone else's opinion of something?
What I find with RT is... they'll often, you know, they have no problem telling the truth or a lie so long as it demonizes NATO or the NATO alliance in some way. So, yeah, you'll hear some truth on RT as long as it's negative publicity against that, or sometimes you just hear complete fabricated stuff. But, I mean, it's funded and run by the Kremlin, so that's why they have no problem. There are some horrible stories that are going on that RT will report, and sometimes they're accurate because it's there to demonize America or any Western, you know, NATO nation. But another thing I've noticed, though, that they all seem to have in common, whether it's CNN or RT or Al Jazeera, or it doesn't matter. They appear to be different, but they're all pushing Agenda 21 sustainable development propaganda. RT, you know, has interviewed Gro Harlem Brundtland, the author of the Brundtland Report, which is a must-read. It is the basis of Agenda 21. It came out just before this, just before Agenda 21. I believe 1984 is when it came out, or it might have been 1981. But anyways, this is like the grandmother of Agenda 21. And there, you see, you can find clips from years ago, and they're just giving her the stage, and, oh, it's Gro Harlem Brundtland, former Prime Minister of Norway. She worked for the UN for years. And I mean, I see all these characters strolling around on RT, and I see all these globalists pushing Agenda 21 on CNN or Fox News, or it doesn't matter. So they appear to be enemies, but at the same time, I still see this global agenda being pushed.
Right. There was a debate that Bill O'Reilly and Jon Stewart did in 2012, and you can go look this up on YouTube. It's a fabulous debate, because they break character. about an hour and 15 minutes into the two-hour debate and spend the rest of the time talking like real people. They explain how their disenfranchisement with each other is fake, that it's facilitated by both of the agencies that they work for, that they respect each other, that they respect each other's craft, that they understand that each one is playing a character, and that it is facilitating the needs of the corporation they work for as far as ratings and revenue goes. But they personally don't feel the ways necessarily that they speak about publicly, but they understand that they are a character, that they've been this character for a long time. The audience loves this character. And to come out as themselves would be detrimental to their careers. So I agree with you. It is there. It's literally there. And the celebrities will tell you that this stuff happens. So there's no reason to believe that it's not happening in news, because we see two people who are considered news sources explaining to you that these things are absolutely fake and they're not real. So the question to me becomes, what is the benefit monetarily or otherwise to facilitate all of these fake arguments and these fake us against them things?
Right. Well, we were having a bit of technical difficulties. I think we dropped Mark off the line. But anyways, RT and the whole, I don't know. I don't know why the rest of the alternative media doesn't recognize this. I know a lot of them do, but a lot of them don't. They just, you know, RT, yes, it's alternative media. No, it is not. It is state-funded. It's no different than the CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, funded by Canadians' tax dollars to lie to them on TV. And then people go and spend $60 a month on cable to get lied to on top of it. So they're paying both ways. RT is the same thing, but from Russia. It's the same as CNN. Started in 1980 by the Pentagon. You know, it's just national news service. It's the, you're never going to get the truth out of, you know, taxpayer funded news sources. It's just no way. I don't know. That's my take on it. On KT Kremlin Today, that's what I'm calling RT from now on. It's now KT Kremlin Today.
I agree with you, and I think that the people who know should talk about it at every chance you can get. Interject it into the conversation if you can, because it needs to be an idea that permeates throughout alternative media. One of the main problems with alternative media is that we don't check our sources. We just spew out something because it sounds cool, or we share something on the internet because it's got a cool picture or it's got a great title. We don't look into it and check our facts. And unfortunately, if we want to actually replace the mainstream media, we're going to have to become good stewards of good evidence and factual information. Otherwise, we are no better than our opponent.
Yeah, I agree. What we should do is don't get all your information on from one particular site. You go to other alternative media sites and, you know, see what you can come up with. And if you find something that, that they all agree on, maybe that's what we should be doing, you know, instead of just going to one particular site and saying, well, if they're putting it up there, it's got to be truth, but that's not always the way. So you should be able to go to other sites and see what you can find there and go to another one and see what information you got from there instead of just one site.
Yeah, I'll give you an example. Max Kaiser owns two Bitcoin-like cryptocurrency brokerage firms. So when he pushes cryptocurrency, it's because he's going to make money on the back end. That's why you shouldn't listen to him when he's talking about cryptocurrency, because everything he's saying, eventually he knows, will fund and support monetarily his two businesses. He also owns patents on cryptocurrency that other people are licensing. So again, he's trying to make sure that his cash cow, his retirement fund, is there when he goes to retire. And we need to understand that if you have a vested interest in the information that you're bringing, people who are directly tied to, one other example is this carrot bars. They approached my husband and I a couple of years ago when they started, and we completely denied them because gold is a commodity that is traded on the stock market. It's not precious metal like they tell you it is. It's not an investment that is going to hold its weight. It doesn't hold its worth. It fluctuates every day. It's manipulated twice a day by major banks all across the world. So when I see alternative outlets doing reports and pushing the idea that we need to keep investing in gold, I have to question why they're doing that. And if they are if they have commercials for carrot bars or some other agency like that, then I understand why they're pushing this, why they're making these reports, why they're putting this information out on television or on the radio, because they make money doing it. So we have to keep in mind what we're dealing with, who we're dealing with, the complexities of bringing information to the audience and being a corporation and everything that involves that before we even take any of this information seriously and make a decision on our lives that change and affect our lives and those around us. It's very complex, but it is entirely serious. It's the only corporate idea that was injected into the Constitution. Why? Because freedom of the press is integral to keeping government in checks and balances. Hey guys, if you do something bad and we find out about it, we are going to take you to task and expose you. So public shaming is an idea that the press should be able to do, but factual information based on real events that actually happened with real people that we can trace back, that is information that we should be using to go after to stop people. But unfortunately, we deal with opinions and loosely connected dots all day long. And the reason why nothing changes is because we haven't found concrete evidence of anything. We have lots of supposition and we have circumstantial evidence, and we have some things that may be photoshopped or maybe altered in some way, and sources that have no credibility whatsoever making claims that they wouldn't possibly know anything about. But you know, until we change how we view and media and what we're willing to accept and what we want to reject, then we're going to continue with this blurring of tabloid journalism with credible journalism.
Yeah, I think that to get the true facts out there, it takes a lot of work. You know, you just can't, sometimes you just can't do it overnight. It takes a lot of digging and a lot of fact searching, and it comes monotonous after a while when you think about it. But if it's in your blood to do what no other media source is doing, since they're not doing anything. But I talk to people and say, well, even with the government, so well, the government's going to do it anyway. But if you go out and vote and you vote them out, vote for an independent or something like that, if everybody did that, then you'd vote this government out and have somebody else in there that's a little bit more credible. But nobody doesn't want to do anything. They'd rather just sit and wait. And I just say to them, well, whatever comes along, it's all yours, you know. You are what you eat type thing.
Well, just recently our Senate passed a bill to approve Keystone. All of these people involved in the passage and the sponsoring of this bill were directly paid by big oil and natural gas, because this benefits those two corporations, those two industries. $15 million was dispersed between 7 senators. So we need to know that. We need to know that, because those guys are getting paid by people who have a vested interest in the passage of bills that have nothing to do with our safety or our benefit or our environment's benefit. We need to know that. It needs to be common knowledge. It needs to be household knowledge. Everybody needs to know that. We need to have outlets that are exposing information like that and the variance of it on a consistent basis, where you can go back to the facts and look at the donations and actually verify that that's actually true. And once people understand what is really true about what is actually happening, I can't see at least 30 or 40% of the American population, at least, not standing up and saying, wait a minute, maybe those 1 or 2 or 3% population who we called crazy conspiracy theorists, maybe they're onto something, because some of this stuff actually checks out.
Oh, sure. I agree with you. Yeah. But that takes some work. And that's what you have to do. And that's what we do here on the show. And, you know, when you may not come up with the answer right away, but once you keep digging for it, the truth is out there. It's right there at your doorstep, if you want it.
Yeah, we have this wonderful tool called the internet, and everyone else is using it to gather information, and they're making lots of money off of it. So why don't we use it to gather information? The problem, I think, goes back to, and I know it's kind of beating a dead horse, but I apologize. But as a journalist, I take this personal, that most of my peers, when I look at their source links, is not credible information. So why is that being used and spun in a way to facilitate other information that doesn't have anything to do with the originating it gets really convoluted. I see the same thing happening in mainstream. And so as a journalist, I say, well, why is there no differential? There is supposed to be a differential. And what is the alternative media's purpose? And if they're doing this on a consistent basis, and I haven't had the time because I do all this other stuff to actually really get into this. And if somebody would like to do this, I'd appreciate it. But there's got to be some points where of origination where the story branches out often to other areas for the left and the right and the blue and the red, but it has to start at some point. And the closest thing I found is the Council for National Policy on the red side, and that includes everything from staunch conservatives all the way down to right-wing conspiracy theorists, and the CFR, the Council on Foreign Relations, for the blue team, and all the way down to their crazy conspiracy theorists as well. So seeing those two of a tree trunk going out there injecting talking points and injecting narratives in, and then finding the way in which it plays a telephone game all the way down, like for the red team, all the way down from the GOP to conspiracy theory, it is amazing to me. And it is like a telephone game because the information comes down, and as it comes down, it gets changed, and it gets changed. And when it gets to the last place where it's coming or where it's going, it's completely different than where it started. And yet it has that nugget that connects all of the different versions together. And it's just, hey, what flavor do you like? We got 31. Which one do you like?
Yeah, exactly. And we played a clip on Conan O'Brien where he played a clip of himself about all these eight, like CNN and ABC or whatever, all spinning the same thing. All of them were spinning the same thing. There wasn't anything new there. You know, when you spin a lie, a lot of times it becomes
true. We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
We are submersed in a construct that was designed to break us and keep us broken. But it hasn't. It failed. We still go on because we were designed from an eternal template of infinite creativity and not a synthetic house of cards built on pride and false power. Breaking free from the programs and paradigms that hold us down takes courage, endurance, tenacity, and trust. The reason it is so hard is because to be a free and sovereign being, we have to smash every lie, even if it hurts. It is good to be reminded of how resilient, unbreakable, magnificent, and powerful we truly are. And if anything provides a foundation for that, it is the book, Our Universal Journey. Go to OurUniversalJourney.com. au.
Archaeology, astronomy, alchemy, secrets of the Holy Bible, hidden codes of the Quran, demonology, Tesla technology, solar power, extraterrestrials in the ancient world. More than 500 documentaries, an experimental film lab of cutting-edge music and art, full-length movies, conference reports, and weekly TV shows. The Enigma Channel is the world's first truly global TV station. www.enigmatv.com. Intelligent television for planet Earth.
No hype, no fear. We are TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.
We have before us the opportunity to forge, for ourselves and for future generations, a new world order. A world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Welcome back to Angry Beaver Radio here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. Now, we've got Suzanne Posel with us on the broadcast from OccupyCorporatism.com. And I've got this article here, this headline, Bill Gates wants to help the poor manage their... Bill and Melinda Gates, through their foundation, published their annual letter declaring mobile banking would give poor people access to a bank to help them use their assets effectively. Poor people don't have any assets, Bill. Assets. They're half a box of macaroni and cheese. Oh, put your macaroni and cheese on an e-card. What? I don't know. What do you make of this?
Oh. Well, Bill Gates loves Bitcoin. Late last year, he came out and said, Bitcoin is better than gold, it's better than dollars, it's better than sliced bread, it's better than mom's apple pie. And he is investing with his foundation and his wife into mobile banking. Because what he says is poor people have insecure methods of utilizing banking services, like keeping their cash under their mattress or giving their money to a friend and having to drive and waste all of that time and energy and money to deliver that loan to their friend, or give money to a friend to loan to that friend or relative, and thereby that friend stealing the money from them, and then they're out that money and they don't get the loan back, and so it hurts them financially. So, but if they had access to mobile banking services, this would all go away because they could manage everything online and all of their banking services, it would all be okay. It would be like the Skittles rainbow.
It just sounds like a big scam to me because, okay, let's look at the poor people on the planet don't have any assets. They don't have any money. They don't have any money to digitally store anywhere, or they don't have any physical money to store under a mattress. They don't have a mattress. So people that don't have running water or electricity or a mattress, and many of them don't even have shelter, are not worried about where to keep digital macaroni. I mean, it's just the whole thing is asinine. Now for the developed nations, I mean, you know, I'm sure he wants to make the service charges and the service fees himself rather than give it to the big banks. But in terms of poor people, I don't see how it's going to help the poorest people on the planet. I don't see that they have any need for it. They need food and water and that kind of stuff and shelter.
Absolutely. And he's targeting places like Kenya and Tanzania and the Philippines and Bangladesh. By the way, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has invested millions, hundreds of millions of dollars into the government in India to help prop up their infrastructure. And Bill Gates was quoted, I wrote an article late last year about how he was disappointed that all of his investments in India has not panned out the way that it should. And you have to remember, by 2024, the average age of an Indian in India will be 29. This is going to be a huge population of very, very young people who by then will have been more integrated than we see millennials in social media and in electronic devices and mobile devices, wireless devices. Their whole world will be furthered into the technological revolution that we're just seeing burgeoning right now. So it makes sense from an investor's point of view for him to push this idea, because he knows, see, this is how these guys think, folks. He knows that in 15 years, he's going to make a huge amount of money if he just invests now and pushes the idea onto people and pushes the idea onto governments and goes to Davos and talks about this with bankers to get them all on board so that he can make a huge killing in less than 20 years.
Yes, if you're poor out there, well, you probably aren't going to have internet or be listening to this broadcast, but don't worry. If you happen to actually have cash, which you probably don't, Bill Gates is going to keep it safe for you to help you. I mean, it's ridiculous. He's just out there publicly saying he's going to rob poor people with e-cards. I don't know. I think the cards are going to cost him more money than he's able to steal, but that's just my take on it.
You know? Those cards are – they're so cheap. It's insane how cheap they are to make a dozen or even a 100,000 of those cards. That's why we got this push for gift cards. Think about this, folks. The bank keeps your money overnight or for a couple of days because they're trading it on the stock market and they can't cash your check right away unless you have that money in your account to counterbalance, right? Isn't that crazy? Think about that. These gift cards is a huge scam, and it's made a lot of money for them because it's an extra added maybe million or $2 million that they have coming in. They don't know when this gift card is going to be utilized, and most gift cards are not utilized, and they expire in a year. So this is like free money for them to go on the stock market and trade with. And it costs them nothing to produce these gift cards at all. That's why everyone's got a loyalty card. Everyone's got a gift card. Yeah, they'll give you back 5%. Yeah, Chase will give you back 5% if you use that, because that doesn't even put a dent into the monthly fee that they're charging you to even have that account open.
Right. I mean, it's just like there was a famous South Park episode again where the boy goes to the bank, puts his $20 in, they key it in, and they type it in over there, and then it's gone. And the kid's like, what? It's and that's true. Here in Canada, if you have $20, you want to go open a bank account. You open the account, you put the $20 in, and you can't get it out. It's stuck in there because to take the money out, say you want to withdraw $20, it's, you know, there's a fee on that, and that which is more than exceeds the $20 that's in there. So automatically your $20 is gone. So, I mean, I don't know. There are definitely better ways, easier ways to do banking. I'm all for that. But personally, I try not to use the banks because a lot of these big banks, they're engaged in money laundering for, drugs, child trafficking, you know, rings. It's just ridiculous. The stuff that some of these big banks are engaged in. So if I don't have to do business with them, I'd rather not give them a bloody penny. And they should be held accountable for the money that they're laundering.
Yes. And along those veins, folks, you have to realize something. Do you guys know what the shadow banking industry is?
I remember when Gordon Brown brought it up at the G20 that they're going to put in new thing. I think it was the first G20 meeting ever, too. He's going to be putting new controls on the shadow banking.
Okay, the shadow banking industry is already there. We've been using them since the 90s. That is the check cashing stores all of those payday advance loan places that we go to. That is the shadow banking industry. That is the industry that kept the banks afloat during the crash in 2008, and they laundered all of those toxic assets, or the ones, the banks that did do that, they were able to successfully launder all of their toxic assets through the shadow banking industry. They charge you exorbitant fees. They target minorities. They target people who don't have enough money. Obviously, you're trying to get an advance on your paycheck, and it's only 2 weeks in between paychecks. You're broke. And this industry, which is absolutely unregulated, nobody cares about it. No government is paying any attention to it. And it's a huge, huge industry slated to, increase by more than 50% in 2015, 2016. And to me, that, and they talked about this at Davos, and I covered this because what was surprising to me was they credited AIG's return to this shadow banking industry. And you wouldn't think that when you go to your check advance store, your check cashing store, that you are part of this money laundering system in order to get a loan, that the banks are using to continue to do all of these nasty things that they do unregulated, but they are. And it's like, when the mafia buys a gas station and they never sell any gas, you could go into the, like the convenience store and buy a soda or something, but they never have any gas. Meanwhile, they're always open. It's the same exact thing for the banks, but then it's a service that they, smart as they are, turned around and utilized for us to help them financially to fill in gaps and create another revenue generator for them to play on the stock market.
Yeah, we have like Money Mart up here, and if you want an advanced or cash your check, you have to give up at least 2.3% of that paycheck, and then they will give you the money. That is, to me, that is part of the shadow banking, cabal. And there are lots of them out there. You know, checks for cash and all this kind of stuff. And, they make lots of money. That's why they're still around. I've seen them. They're coming up with more places where you can go to cash your check.
Right. And a lot of the money that they're making is off the payday loans, right? $200 here, and then they don't make payments, and then the interest starts accruing. And that's where a lot of their money is made. Like, you know, someone goes and cashes a check. Yeah, they're making some money, but that doesn't really keep the lights on and pay the employee. It's the payday loans that keeps the lights on and the money coming in.
Yes, absolutely. And you get into this, some people get into this cycle where it's part of the agreement that you take out another loan to pay off the loan if you're back on payments and your interest is accruing. At some point it caps and they say, well, you have to take out another loan in order to pay that back. But those loans, it's not like a refi with your house. They don't combine the two loans and then you pay one interest rate. You pay interest on both loans now and you are responsible for both loans individually.
Right. Right, so it's like the loan shark. You can't pay the loan shark, so he says, well, I'll loan you the money to pay me back. But there's interest on that one. Like, it doesn't, yeah. And both loans are still open, and you're paying interest on two loans for double the amount of money. It's, yeah, I don't know. I mean, even when you talk about mortgages or, like, house loans, it's ridiculous. The amount of money, somebody buys a house for $150,000, by the time they're done paying for it, they pay $250,000, $300,000, and they're almost dead. Meanwhile, I can build a house by myself in 1 year. Nobody needs to help me. 1 year, you know? So what, I got to go on a mortgage for 40, 50 years, become a slave to my property and something I could create in a year? It doesn't make sense. I mean, and that doesn't really matter about, you know, whether you go into older construction, modern construction, 3D printing a house, however you want to build it. It doesn't take that much to build. Most people would be able to build their own place in a year or a couple of years if they're, you know, don't know what they're doing. So I don't see the point of going into this huge, paying double the price for a house, getting a mortgage. I mean, that's a whole scam in itself. And property prices, like say in Toronto, you're looking at around $1 million for a 3-bedroom house. Just a plain size house, $1 million? Nobody in Canada makes $1 million. Like, so, you know, you're definitely signing on to a 40-year mortgage. It's just ridiculous. And it's slavery to me. That's not property ownership. You don't own that. The minute you get behind on your property taxes or the payments, the mortgage payments, your house is gone.
It's like you're paying rent.
It is. Yeah. It's rental. You're renting it from the government and renting it from the bank. And the minute you get behind, they're going to take the house and your deposit and everything you paid into it. So yeah,
same with your car.
Yeah. And the moment that you sign on to that loan modification, in the background, the bank is filling out your foreclosure application and all of the documents they need to foreclose on you that minute. So don't sign on to any of those loan modifications or even your refi. With refis, they're doing that as well. And here in the United States, the FHA, Fannie and Freddie, if you go to Fannie and Freddie's website, what you'll see is a little cartoon. It's a couple minutes long explaining to you how they are legally securitizing loans. And it's amazing to watch. They've made it legal. So they're still doing it. Now they're doing it under regulation. Yay! And the FHA is now targeting, it's no longer the Department of Housing and Urban Development, it's the Department of Opportunity. And they are targeting people who would not be able to afford because they are on HUD vouchers or they are, you know, collecting welfare, giving them the opportunity to take out loans from third-party banks who are securitizing that they know they are securitizing these loans and offering it to the lowest common denominator in society economically, which before they were offering it to the middle class and lower middle class. Now they're just targeting the absolute bottom and making sure that not only are you taking out the loan from the government, and so now it's all legal, but they are passing it along to the banks to legally securitize and create more derivatives. This is fantastic what they're doing. They got smart.
Yeah, it's like the Robin Hood effect. Rob from the poor and give to the rich, but the poor don't have anything to give. So what can you take from them if they're hit rock bottom?
Yeah, what person who is, you know, working a minimum wage job, if that at all, or lost their job or for whatever reason is on state assistance and multiple avenues of state assistance, and then you offer them the ability to get into a house where they're living in a housing development or they're living in an apartment that's in the wrong side of town that they really don't want to raise their children in, and you give them the opportunity to get into a house which is in a better neighborhood, of course they're going to take it. They have no idea what they're getting themselves into, but they are going to do that. It'll be en masse, too.
Well, what do you think of these, I forget what to call them, it's not on top of my head, that you can actually, go and win a house, you know, if you sign up for something, then, you'll go to, you know, you go in there and then hopefully you'll win a 3 or 4 bedroom house.
Well, then you win the chance to pay annual taxes on that property. So a lot of people end up just taking the cash. Because, you know, say you have no income, you win a big 3, 4, 5 bedroom house, like in one of these charity draws. Some of these houses I've seen are like a couple $1 million. Somebody who doesn't have a job is not going to be able to pay the hydro, the heat, or the land taxes. So if they take the house, they're going to either have to rent it out or sell it, or the government will eventually just confiscate it.
Yeah, I agree with you, John, because I see quite a few people now that actually have houses and they're actually renting them out. They're not actually living in them at all. They're renting them out, and there's a lot more of that going on than you think.
And the flip side of that is in an economically depressed time or decade or position in society, you're going to have people who would find the $20 or the $100 to donate to that raffle, which would include a massive amount of money, a lot of people trying to win that house, which only one person can. And like we were just discussing, that person wouldn't be in an economic stance to even keep the home. It seems to me to just be a scam all around. Taking advantage of people who are destitute.
Yes. Lottery economy that they've got going here. It's just ridiculous. Like, it's nothing wrong with having some fun or playing the lottery once in a while or maybe have some casual gambling. You know, I'm not really into it myself. But, you see people who, I can see the difference between people who are just having fun once in a while and people who actually are delusional and think, you know, if they just keep blowing their welfare check every month on the lottery tickets at the store, one of them's going to pay off. Well, these people have some type of mental illness, I think. I mean, It's just the whole time you see, you get stuck in line at the store behind them, and they got like 50 lottery tickets, and you know, they're trying to, you know, next thing you know, they're trying to buy lottery tickets with food stamps, and it's like, come on, are you serious?
Well, studies do show that during economic strife, there is a lot more depression, a lot more homicide, and a lot more suicide. And it makes complete sense. When you can't afford to put food on your table and you have children, as a man, with the way that we view men in our society, or with the way that we have in the past, it's very detrimental to the ego. The way that women have become breadwinners as well, to not be able to feed your children or maintain the roof over your head or know where your rent money is coming from, is a huge, great stress to people. And it's an undue stress. It's completely manufactured, but it explains why people who can't afford it will go and buy like 10 or 12 tickets of some scratch off, or go and spend their money trying to win the lottery because they're desperate. They would do one of these raffles because they're desperate. They don't have any other avenue. Obviously, they have exhausted every other way that they could obtain any more cash to be able to just survive. And these things look appealing because they are at their last straw.
Well, our local gambling officials here, what is it, the Ontario Lottery, has taken it to the online gambling. So now, because the government controls all the gambling here, like the lottery tickets and stuff here in Ontario, Canada. And now they've launched an online gambling thing to further entice people. So our own government's involved in the casino economy. it's predatory. That's all I can say.
Oh, absolutely. And then they put restrictions on other communities that have been, for X or Y reason, forced into that industry in order to make any money at all. Native Americans here in the United States. What they do has to be highly regulated, and anyone else, it has to be highly regulated. But the government can do whatever they want. They can offer any kind of gambling. It's okay if the government sanctions it, but anyone else does it, or any other group, minority group trying to make a living does it, that's a bad thing. That's when it's bad gambling.
Yeah, because up just up north of here in Orillia, Ontario, they have a casino up there, which is on native land. And a portion of that money that is made is supposed to go to the natives, and there's been controversy over this casino, that the money that the casino is actually making, not hardly any of it is going to the native people, which it's on actually native land when you go up there, and it's a beautiful country up there. I've been up there several times, and it's a beautiful looking casino and stuff like that, but not a lot of the money is going towards the native people, and it's pretty sad. Greed. There you go. Corporate greed.
Yeah, they don't care. A depressed economy breeds people who will go to casinos and gamble anyway, and they will take their last dollar and it breeds the addiction. They know that it's addictive. They know that it touches certain centers in our brain and creates the thalamus to exude certain chemicals, and we have a positive reaction. And so the hope, the idea, if we even win once at the slot, we're more likely to sit there for another hour trying to win. And they know this. And they know that the temperament of society at that time is facilitating the want and desire to even enter that building and make that try at the slot machine. They know this. It's targeting, and it's disgusting.
Yeah, I've gone up there, we've gone up there and, you know, played the machines, maybe $20 or whatever. If we lose that, that's fine. No big deal. I'm just happy if we can just, win a little bit just to have a free dinner. I'm happy with that. I'm happy with food in my stomach. You know, I don't want to have to win the whole thing. It doesn't really matter to me.
Most people who go there, unfortunately, don't think that way. And the comps, that is one of the most insidious things. It costs them nothing. They get that food by bulk. And how do you think they're able to set up those tables on the buffets every single day, throwing away as much food as they purchase every single day? It's because it doesn't cost them anything. It also, it's their hotel. If they give you a free night in the hotel, it doesn't cost them any more. They have people who reserve over long periods of time. They know how much money they're going to be making in a fiscal year, so they allocate certain amount of rooms every year to comps. It really doesn't cost them a dime in order to do that. And unfortunately, we, you know, the average person doesn't think like a corporation, so we don't always understand why they do the things that they do and why they offer the things that they offer. And it's enticing and it's all directed. And in the end, the purpose is to separate whatever money or cash or whatever's on your credit card from you and into their coffers. The house always wins.
Oh, definitely. You're absolutely right. And if they want you to spend money, you just go over to, one area of the casino and they got a bank machine there.
Yeah, if you run out of cash.
You run out of cash, you just go.
Oh, and if you want to cash in your bitcoins too, they have that in Vegas now.
Yeah, but what's the deal? I mean, just look at blackjack, okay? That's one where you may have better odds if you're a good player, or maybe you can keep count of the cards, which isn't cheating. And, so say you go to the casino and you're smoking them a blackjack, they're going to come over and kick you out and ban you for legitimately going in and winning. So I mean, even blackjack's a perfect example. If you can go in, you know how to play, you're not allowed to play. I mean, what kind of, that just exposes the casino for, in the old days, you used to break guys' hands for card counting. It's like, what? He didn't cheat? He beat you. He's smarter than your dealer. He's better than you. He beat you. He didn't cheat. Okay? He didn't pull an extra deck out, or there's no cheating involved. And they still, to this day, will kick you out. I don't think they're breaking people's hands or anything anymore. But, I mean, that just exposes the casino gulag. Like, the house always wins. So even when you win, no, we're going to kick you out. You don't win. So I don't know. I'm not a big casino goer because I know it's designed to take my money. And that, to me, it's not fun. You know, having my money get burned, that's, you know, like, no thanks.
Well, for me, we like to go to the one at Niagara Falls in Canada. Falls View Casino. Yeah, you don't have to go there to gamble at all. You could just go there and look around and, you know, you take in a concert if you want to do that, which is always fun to do. And you could go around even in the casino area and just watch everybody else playing. And a lot of seniors are playing. And it's unbelievable how many seniors are sitting down there playing their machines or whatever. And the Chinese people are the biggest gamblers in there. They have a room all for themselves, you know what I mean? And they're like they're putting hundreds of thousands of dollars on the table, not just playing 1 cent machines. You know,
the high roller room.
Yeah, well, high roller room is
right.
The
great thing, Michael, about Falls View Casino down there at Niagara Falls is when you're up there, you can watch out the window and watch everybody in their AI self-driven cars drive into Niagara Falls because of bad mapping information.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
I don't know. You mentioned Falls View. We were talking.
I have a friend a couple of years ago, she was using her Garmin and it told her to drive into a lake that was behind her house.
Well, we'll pick that up on the other side of this break.
Watch the band, a bunch of dancers. Quickly, follow the unknown.
So, you want the news and information without the hate, the hype, the fear? Well, you've come to the right place. You can support Truth Frequency Radio by spreading the word on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite forums. Want to take Truth Frequency Radio on the road? Listen on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other mobile devices. Want more than just the free stuff? Sign up for a VIP membership for as little as $4 a month and get super high-quality downloads, member-only content, and instant access to your favorite shows without the wait. It's only through your loving support that we're able to cover the cost and continue broadcasting. So now, stay tuned for more Free Speech Radio right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. KTFRN. Worldwide.
After work, I'm so tired that I want to be left alone to sleep.
Hey, listen to me.
Who are you?
I'm you years ago when you felt healthy and young and everything worked on your body. Do you remember that?
Yes. I wish I felt like that now.
You can feel like that again with a new microplant powder formulation called Iodine Now. It cleans the entire body from head to toe and feeds the body what it really needs. You'll be in a better mood and you'll find more drive in your romantic life. Really? I gotta try Iodine Now and feel good again. It also protects you from radiation, heavy metals, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, including cancer and most major diseases. You'll be amazed. You can be your own doctor. I want to keep you out of the hospital and off pharmaceuticals. Wow, why are you so nice to me? Because I'm you. You're out of shape, and I need a better-looking future.
Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. Iodine Now. Only at MUSA.org.
Here at MyPatriotSupply.com, our customers are number one. Built on a self-sustaining business model, we don't owe our existence to big banks or big business. Instead, the company was built by you, the customer. The success of My Patriot Supply is a testimony to the loyalty and dedication of each and every one of you, to our old-fashioned values and top-rated customer service. These elements alone have made us the number one choice of patriots everywhere. We believe that being prepared should not be a luxury reserved by people with large disposable incomes, which is why we have the products you need at the prices you can afford. We bring you our Patriot Pantry brand of storable food, which features top-of-the-line flavors and carefully packed to store for 25 years. Plus water purification systems, non-GMO heirloom seeds, survival gear, and much, much more. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com or call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The White Buffalo with John Phillips.
Tuesday through Thursdays on True Frequency Radio.
After 1989, President Bush kept said, and it's a phrase that I often use myself, that we needed a new world order. And instead, it looks like we got a lot of disorder. And still, and after 9/11, we've been more sensitive to the.
So we have to shape an international order that can meet the challenges of our generation.
Welcome back to Angry Beaver Radio here on TruthFrequencyRadio.com. And we're here with Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com. And I just want to say for folks to check us out next week, we have Marcia from the West Coast. We had her on previously. She will be discussing Morgellons disease. So that should be interesting. I'm not that well-versed in that, so that should be an interesting show. Now, I don't know, what were we getting into just before we got cut off by the break, guys?
We were talking about how GPS services. I have a friend a couple of years ago. Her Garmin told her to drive into the lake and park in the middle of the lake, which is behind her house. So she'd have to drive through her backyard into this lake. And we all laughed about it. But now, when I hear people tell stories, I don't laugh as hard as I did back then because it was ridiculous at the time.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I don't trust these self-driving cars. Human drivers suck, but, you know, I don't look at the GPS systems. Who hasn't had a GPS system tell them to drive off a cliff or into a lake? I don't know too many people who haven't had that. Here, I listened to my GPS system. That's why I died, you know.
When I read these studies about the advancements in self-driving and autonomous and artificial intelligence and algorithms, and I write lots of articles on this stuff because it fascinates me. But the one purveying thing is the scientists coming up with this all say that this is new. We should not be heavily implementing this as a mandate like the Department of Transportation in the United States wants to, because there are such flaws. I'll give you an example. There's a company called EnviroLife Sciences who developed a way to transmute your thoughts onto a computer screen and so that you can manipulate what's going on. It's an advancement of the technology that Stephen Hawking uses to operate his wheelchair. So what happens is when you have a thought, there's an electrical impulse that goes through your brain. Obviously, all of the neurons fire, but there is an echo that is discernible by a computer on your forehead. And so what the computer does is it reads the echo off of your forehead and then does on the computer screen whatever it is that you were thinking. So the host of the show put this device on, and he was looking at a little cube on a computer screen, and the woman facilitating said, think of it disappearing. Think of it slowly fading to black and disappearing. And so he did. And within 3 seconds, the object started on the computer screen, started to disappear, and eventually was gone. This technology is very fascinating. And the problem with it that she was explaining is that our brains have very peculiar thought patterns. Each thought is individual, and it has an individual electrical signature, which is discernible by the computer. But the computer doesn't understand how to discern a frivolous thought from an actual command thought. So if you had this device and you were using it, and let's say you live in a smart home where your lights are controlled by computers, as well as your toaster oven, your microwave, your refrigerator, your coffee maker, you would find objects or machinery turning off and on spontaneously. You don't even realize some of the thoughts that you're having, and your house would be reacting to your thoughts. The point of all of this is to say that this technology, even though it's coming out and it's becoming available, we don't have the wherewithal and we don't have the technological advancement in order to utilize it properly. So yes, we have these capabilities, but we don't understand enough about how to integrate and how it affects our environment and how we integrate in with it in order to utilize it properly. So there's going to be a lot of mistakes, and I agree with you absolutely. The self-driving cars is a place where I don't want to take that chance, because I am in a vehicle that could either kill me or someone else, and I don't trust the level of technology advancement that we have now to trust my life and my children's life and my husband's life in a car that I'm not controlling.
Well, since we're discussing the technology and driving, we've got this article here. Digital driver's license. Delaware wants you to give police your cell phone.
Yes.
So with more than 30 states allowing drivers to show some form of electronic proof of insurance, the Delaware Division of Motor Vehicles is contemplating adopting a digital driver's license that can be accessed via resident's smartphone. So there you go. You have a smart license. I mean, how can that be hacked? And how do you, I mean, isn't that easy to just, for anyone to just make up their own license, and it just shows a JPEG of some fake license on their phone, and I don't know. Seems silly.
Well, they're taking the prompt from a lot of these insurance companies that now have online ID cards. So essentially what they're asking their customers to do is hand over their cell phone to the driver, or to the officer rather, when he asks for identification and proof of insurance. This obviously is not something that we want to do, because we've seen over time, and I cite this in my article, the massive amounts of times that people are persecuted, prosecuted, arrested, convicted because of information that was on their cell phone that they freely gave to the officer because they were handing it because they have their online ID, and yet they ended up incriminating themselves in some way and ending up in bigger trouble than they should have been. And in the United States, that's a violation of their Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights. No matter what you're doing, unless the officer has probable cause in order to question whether or not you're part of an activity and thereby arrest you because of it, you have the right to protect yourself. And I'm not saying that, you know, criminals are going to do what criminals do. I'm not saying that. But average American citizens should not have to hand over private information, which is on our cell phones, handed over to a cop where he walks back to his car and does God knows what with it for an undetermined amount of time. He could be looking through anything on your cell phone. Your cell phone is unlocked, so he is able to go through anything he wants and find any information and come back and have a bogus charge against you. The implications of this is staggering, but because we are moving into a digital age, and because the smartphone is the centerpiece of the digital age as of right now, this is what they are thinking about doing. Ohio State is thinking about doing it as well. Alabama is talking about doing it. So we're going to see states here in the United States adopt this, not understanding or even maybe caring about the consequences or ramifications of it. They'll deal with that later after they have a bunch of lawsuits for privacy violations.
Right. So, I don't know, this whole digital driver's license thing, I see a big problem with, you know, just look at the apps that you get on your Android or whatever. You're giving them access to everything, your microphone, your camera, your web search history, stool samples. Now they'll have access to your driver's license. So even if you use a fake name or you have a prepaid phone under a no name or a fake name, they'll be able to access, you know, some real information if you have your license on your phone. So, I mean, I'm not so worried about the cop hacking me or running around pretending I'm me. I'm more worried about the third-party apps that would have access to my ID, my real ID, and then be able to do God knows what, get credit cards, who knows what they could do with your ID. So, I mean, it's just a big security issue to me to have your license on a tablet or a smartphone or even on a computer. So,
for me, I have a tablet, and it's my relief from all the chaos around me a little bit. And I only download apps that do not ask me for any information whatsoever. Those are the apps that I usually download. But I always check the other ones anyways. I press install, and if it says, I want about 50 different things from you, I just don't bother with that. I go to something that does not want any information whatsoever, to be on the safe side. But then again, how safe is that, you know?
Well, you should be on the safe side, because the main vehicle of spying is done through corporations. Where do you think the NSA gets all this information? Where do you think the FBI and the CIA get all this information? They send national security letters to Google, to Microsoft, and other corporations like that, to Facebook. We should be concerned about the amount, the ability, and the accessibility of our private data to corporations and stop it. That's the root cause. I mean, we can get mad at the NSA, and we should be. But we should actually be mad at all those corporations that gave over that information to the NSA so they could do what they did with it. That's the real problem.
Another problem is, too, is because we give it to them. Anything you do on Facebook, CIA and FBI, whatever, these agencies, they don't have to spy on you. You give them the right to spy on you. You give them all your information.
Yeah, and the other thing that people don't understand, and I hate to break this to you guys, because I'm being targeted by Facebook, and I don't particularly like it very much. But this is a private corporation that is offering a free service that you did not pay for. This is not censorship. This is not your right to free speech. This is not a government agency. This is a private corporation who is offering you a free service, and they've decided to change the rules. You can choose not to participate in that, or you can choose to give them less information to go on, since you know what their modus operandi is, gathering information so they can go and sell it and make their shareholders and their investors happy. That's what they're doing. That's what Facebook is doing. So we can either participate less or stop participating all entirely. But we have to realize this is a private corporation who's offering a free service, and they have the right to change the rules. Now, if you're paying for the service, or in any capacity paying for the service, and this would be advantageous to any alternative outlets that are out there, because we use social media to promote our information. So if you're paying for a service on Facebook and you find that they're not performing, then you have a right, because they're hurting your business, they're hurting your outlet when they promise you X amount of clicks and X amount of traffic because you paid for blah, blah, blah at some click farm that you don't even know is a click farm that Facebook hires that you could go to Fiverr and pay a fraction of the price for, but you went and spent $60 anyway. Then you have recourse. But all of our griping about Facebook and all of this information, we're, like you said, we're doing it to ourselves. So we need to just stop doing it to ourselves.
I totally agree with you. And, you know, and no wonder people have the FBI and the CIA or any one of these government agencies knocking on your door. It's because you put up all your family pictures on Facebook. But
whatever happened to my business is my business. Why do we have to constantly put everything out there as if to prove to people that we don't know and never will meet that we're cool? you know, here, look at all my guns. I'm awesome. You know what? A real man who has a set of guns does not need to show it around everywhere. An insecure man who has a set of guns needs to show everybody because he needs that kind of pat on the back or accolade. And we have this problem all over social media that we have to be heard, that we have to have everybody know everything about us so that we can be accepted for who we are. Whatever happened to, hey, this is my private business. This is what I do behind closed doors. And it's mine. If you want, ask me and I'll choose privately whether or not I want to divulge information. Whatever happened to that?
Yeah. It's not there. Yeah. It's not there. And, but, they always come up, a little window comes up and it says, we want to know where you went to school. Where do you work and all this kind of stuff. I don't put any of that stuff up there. I just say, skip it. I say, forget it. I'll put my name up there. That's about it. I won't put anything else where I went to school because it doesn't really matter because the school doesn't exist anymore. The name was changed years ago. So putting the school that I went to out there doesn't really matter. It's I don't really care. I just don't put that information up there. I just put my name and that's pretty much it. But when you do want to sign up to Facebook or Spybook, if you want to call them that, They want to know, they want your real name. They don't want any aliases or anything like that. You know, they want your real name. So that way they can keep track of you more. That's all that is for.
But it's also for demographic purposes. When they're creating profiles for their constituents, their shareholders and their investors, they're trying to say that they have X amount of real, you know, Facebook says that they have 1.2 billion users. So in order to get more funding for their corporation through the stock market, through shareholders and investors, they have to be able to prove that these are not bots. There's so many bots out there. And it's hurting the corporations financially because investors are saying, look, how do I know you're actually getting these real numbers? Because your clicks are up, but your quality level is down. So that shows me that you're paying for click farms and you have X amount of bots on your social media site. So how do I know what the actual percentage of real people who will actually go buy my products that I'm paying to advertise on your site. So this is way more complicated than I think we have even been given the chance to delve into. Because again, like I said, we don't understand really how corporations think in a detailed fashion. We understand the surface information, but it's a very complex beast. And it has multiple factors. It's a hydra. And for us to say, well, we'll just get rid of the NSA, that's not going to solve your problem. Because you have corporations giving their information to places like Stratfor. And Stratfor is a CIA front. And there are other operations that are like that as well. So you can get rid of the NSA. You can get rid of DHS. You can get rid of the FBI's cyber unit. You're not going to get rid of the problem until we get rid of corporate spying. We're going to have this problem and there will always be a buyer somewhere. You can get rid of that agency. Another agency will crop up and buy that information.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's gone beyond. It's gone global now. It's global spying now. That's what it's turned out to be.
Sure, because all the big corporations that matter are multinational. So they care about what their customers think in China and what their customer, and the differences between what Chinese think and what Germans think and what Americans think and everybody else in between. And if they are trying to get customers in a particular country or area, they have to get to know that country. They have to get to know the people. The best way to do that seems to be social media because they know what these people think about and what there is important to them and how they would be a buyer. Also, advertising agencies need to know this so they can make better advertisements to promote these products so that you will actually go into the store and buy them.
Yeah,
or online.
I agree again. And I was just ready to say that they're using these social medias to do that, plus our corporate medias like CNN and all the rest of them and all these other medias. And I think you're right. It's gone global, and it's not just in your backyard anymore. Everywhere you go, it's – You're bringing it with you. You're bringing
your
face.
Yeah. corporations have realized that putting an ad in the newspaper or the Sunday paper doesn't work anymore. Nobody's reading magazines anymore. And, you know, the alternative media says, oh, the dinosaur media. Well, what's actually happening is all those places are going online. And actually, mainstream websites are doing extremely well. Yes, their print sucks, but their websites are doing extremely well. And they have very little advertising because they've moved into this other thing that I think I've discussed on your show before, native advertising. So everything is a commercial. The information that you think you're reading, the five ways that the government is doing this, that's a commercial. Somebody paid for that. A lot of the native advertising has a little tiny blurb up at the top in the smallest font they could possibly come up with, right under the name of the news outlet, sponsored by GM or sponsored by Nestle. But nobody looks at that, so they don't realize we're reading articles that we think we're gathering information from and then basing decisions and changing our life because of it, when it's actually just a big infomercial and we're just buying products to feed the consumerist society that we have.
Yeah, I agree. And we got to stop doing that, and we should be the media. Because the mainstream media is not doing their job, and we should be, we are the media. Now, I'm not saying we are the mainstream media, but we are taking over, and they know that because they're losing the InfoWar, and what we're doing is the right thing to do, and I think we should keep up the great work that we are doing and put these people out of business.
Well, then what the alternative media needs to do is stop putting out advertising themselves. We need to stop having people on our shows that are promoting books unless we specifically tell our audience this show or this broadcast is to promote this book. We need to be honest and transparent with our audience when we are promoting things for corporations that pay us for advertising. We need to be transparent when we have monetary investments in things that we are promoting and that may not be readily available to the audience, so that they understand that we're promoting this thing for a monetary value. If that's such a bad thing, then why are they doing it behind closed doors? It's no different than the mainstream media. I would like to see the alternative media, whatever the next generation of alternative media is going to be, because the current system that we have now is broken and it's terrible. But the next generation of alternative media, please, be transparent. And be honest with your readers and your viewers. There is nothing wrong with making money. We all have to live, but be honest. Hey, I'm having this guest on because they wrote this book and they're promoting the book and they're doing a book tour. When I had my own show, I got tons of emails from producers or from publishing companies who wanted me to have a guest on simply because they were promoting something that they were trying to make money off of. And a lot of times what happens when I would bring this to attention with other hosts was that, the information or the person or the book was brought to the audience because it furthered the idea of the show itself, or it furthered a storyline that the host was promoting. This is all censored information. That is not free information. So we need to be honest and transparent with our audience so that they can make an informed decision and not a coerced decision of whether or not they want to even listen to us, tune in to us, go to our websites, take us seriously.
And, even for me, I've given people, the cards for our show, and, I've gotten a few, replies from them, and they said, our show is really good, and the guests on our show are good as well. And, that's the kind of response that I like. The more response that I like, with that, we can get more people, and then they can come back to me and they said, you guys have a really good show. Do you have an extra card? Do you have the website? I would like to check out your show, plus other shows on here, which are also very good. And I'm glad of the response. And, I know a lot of people are busy working, and they're busy doing other things. But, for the people out there, take a little time. You got to make time. You know what I mean? Just make a little time. A couple hours out of your time is not going to hurt you too much. Listen to our shows and get more educated. Once you get educated, you can make proper decisions, and everything will be just fine, then you can be productive out in the alternative world that, hopefully we're building. And, you know, and that's the way I like to look at it. Keep going, gotta be honest with yourself and be honest with the news that you're coming up with. Check other sources first. Just don't go, to one site and check that out and say, well, that's absolute truth. No, you go to other sites and see what information they have on that particular topic. And if you, find that all of them are coming to an agreement that what's wrong in the world is, the way it is from all these type of sources, fine. And you can, make that, decision and, what you want, for others to see and hear.
And if you're in the alternative media, just make sure you terror-proof anything you post. Because now, at least in Canada, Stephen Harper's got some new laws about if you post anything.
The new anti-terror bill you're talking about, Daniel?
Yes, C-51, I think.
Now, are they going to use the whole terror attacks that have been going on in Canada as propaganda to push this? Most likely. I don't know much about it. I just saw it in the headline earlier today, but...
But they always connect this ISIS and ISIL with the online, like as digital propaganda.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're funding ISIS and ISIL, and you know, so I mean, they bring out a bill to go after against the guys that they're funding. It's just ridiculous. But the public doesn't know this. They know about hockey and donuts and maple syrup.
Yeah, that's why it's dangerous though, because the alternative media like points out these scams that are going on. But then, does that constitute posting about terrorism or whatever? Or you know, like what actually do they mean by promoting terror?
Well, when our country's funding the Free Syrian Army, who turns out to be who morphs into ISIS, I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's like this. It's the terrorist theater is what I call it. Terror theater. It's all it is. It's just absurd to me.
And then the Ed Snowden documents revealed that Canada's running a big thing that tracks the digital downloads of every country. Did you hear that? They go through millions a day.
Oh, I didn't hear that, but it wouldn't surprise me that Canada's in up to its neck, because we got some massive computers just for storing all this data. We're connected to the United States on that one.
Yeah, it's probably three of them. Because Snowden somehow had it in his documents, but it was coming through the Canadian security establishment thing.
Yeah, didn't they just hook up with DHS a couple of years ago and start this whole campaign about how to use the internet and how to have hygiene on the internet? I think Janet Napolitano used that word.
Season your sleeve digitally.
Your digital hygiene, your online hygiene.
Well, online digital hygiene would basically ban Dianne Feinstein's image from the internet permanently. I was bad.
Napolitano was pretty.
Oh, Napolitano. Sorry, I said Feinstein. Yeah, I don't know.
No, both of them. I agree with both of them.
I wonder if it's the conspiracy theorist in me. Are they the same person? No, I'm just joking.
Yeah, that's where the – yeah, don't go and listen. If you're drunk and you want a good laugh, then go and watch some Dallas Goldbug. Otherwise, don't take that stuff seriously.
It is a joke. I mean, there was one where he was saying that one of the truther girls was Sarah Palin's daughter, Bristol Palin. And I'm just like, this guy is a joke. And there's people that take him seriously, though. And they believe, like, they're, I don't know, there's psychologically something wrong with them. They buy into this crap. Who is it? Dan Dix from Press for Truth was one of Gaddafi's henchmen or something.
No, he's the leader of Hamas.
Who makes this crap? Or Hamas.
They're well aware. It's all in the lobes. It's all in the earlobes.
It's all in the earlobes, yeah. Yeah. Ridiculous. I don't know.
Anyways, guys, we've got another break coming up.
It's the end of the show, guys. Sorry. We're out of time.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations.
Check out OccupyCorporatism.com.
A world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle.
Well, thank you, Suzanne.
Governs the conduct.
Thank you, guys.
When we are successful, and we will be.
Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information without the hate, hype, and fear. We are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like The Kev Baker Show,
The Christopher Everard Show,
The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph,
Truth Frequency with Chris and Shuri Geo,
Red Pill Reports
with J.D. Moore,
X-Squared with Brooks Agnew,
Down the Rabbit Hole with Popeye,
Freaky Friday
with The Woo Crew,
Waking Up the Masses
with Robert Bruce,
Phoenix Rising Radio,
and dozens more.
Did you know you can listen from any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308.
Or call into your favorite show toll-free at 866-37-TRUTH.
Uncensored talk and news you won't hear in the mainstream media.
24 hours a day.
Truth Frequency Radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.